With the recent release of the game Disney Infinity 2.0 Marvel Superheroes, there's more creative fun to be had on home games consoles. But this Disney title will also inspire a new generation of computer programmers. Well, hopefully. On the line to talk about this is author and the creator of the Infinity Learning Program, Dan Donahue. How are you going, Dan?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Now, Dan, we've seen, you know, computers move into classrooms more and more over the past few years, and, you know, tablet devices especially. But now you found a way to make consoles a great learning tool thanks to the Disney Infinity game. How did this come about? And I guess why Disney Infinity?
I've been running a range of game-based learning programs for students. And like any person, what they want to do is create something that is as rich and as close to the kind of games they play as possible. So the fact that the toy box allows them to design their own games in three-dimensional environments, to program it so that enemies can come in, can design a range of different types of games, meant that they were able to achieve more of the vision of what they have in their head as pretty quickly, and with a way of understanding program that was a real sort of click and point. So they didn't have to understand the coding language, but they could understand the programming concepts behind it.
When you start off, obviously you're saying younger players, kids look at games like Halo, and you were talking off air earlier about first person shooters and things that they might be familiar with. Do you kind of explain how long it actually takes to learn what you need to know to create those games?
We do a lot of that, and we also try and take them, you know, in terms of game development, taking them beyond just sort of saying, well, there's a whole bunch of coding there, but also taking them into what's the story and how does that work. So in early spaces, we spent a bit of time showing them Tetris and showing them other games to get their heads around sort of how does a game work? What's the actual thing that I'm attracted to or that I'm interested in here? What's the goal of this game? And so it's not just straight into Disney Infinity and actually play with this stuff. It's actually doing a bit of work on paper, in the classroom, discussions, designing our games and thinking about what they are before we actually go in and make them.
So Disney Infinity, the game, it's pretty clear who the target is for that. Well, it's pretty wide from kids up to dads, and it's a very family sort of a game. But Infinity Learning, who is the target for this learning program?
Really targeting middle year students. So it's a program that sort of works for, say, sort of grade 4, grade 5 up to year 8, year 9. That's probably the sweet spot. Especially with the launch of the new one, it's a sweeter spot even because Marvel superheroes definitely appeal sort of more to that sort of older demographic than perhaps what was out in Infinity Point 1. But across the board there, it's not just sort of targeting those kids that might be interested in Minecraft, which has got a big space in that sort of education sort of market. It's sort of also saying, hey, anyone that's into this. And that's one of the nice things about Disney Infinity is that they actually are focusing on putting some strong female characters in there. So, you know, there's even stuff in there for some of the girls to sort of attach themselves to a character that they really like.
Now, I think that many parents or perhaps even teachers in schools would consider a games console in the classroom too much of a distraction. Is that a bit of a battle that you've been fighting and maybe just starting to win?
Oh, definitely it is. And it's twofold as well, because Disney is sort of seen as popular culture and people don't necessarily see a place for our favourite movie characters or cartoon characters in the classroom as a space for learning. And yet one of the biggest issues we face in education is student engagement. And this program and what we're trying to do here is sort of say, well, you know, the thing that most engages these young people are the consoles and the games that they play and these characters that they see and they talk about. So rather than actually saying they don't have a place in learning, we're trying to actually harness them and say, well, they obviously engage students. How can we actually engage them in a way that means they can learn, you know, not just how to code computer games, but something about maths and something about literacy and you know, anecdotal evidence in the work that I've sort of been doing suggests that that's a really powerful tool.
Right. So take me through the types of learning outcomes of the Disney, can you take me through some of the types of outcomes you'd expect from the Infinity Learning Program then? How long's the program go for and what might, you know, you be inspiring students to go on and do after that?
Yeah, so it goes for 6 to 8 weeks and we plan for, you know, maybe an hour or 2 hours at a time. The focus is really on a holistic learning approach. So the students do a lot of literacy work in the sense that they're thinking about stories, they're writing stuff down on paper about characters. There's a whole bunch of visual thinking work and creative skills in terms of then before they even start to design it. We'll show them a few of the different items that they need in the toy box and they start to map out what their game might actually look like. And some of them will be interested in having enemy generators and first-person shooter games, and others will actually be interested in creating some sort of platform game that's a bit more Mario sort of focused and having what characters have to grab and the goals they have to achieve. The beauty of it is some schools have iPads, so some students are designing in groups on iPads. Other groups are actually then jumping on a console or two, because we don't have a console for every student, of course. Mm. And they actually build a whole range of what you call 21st century skills. So as well as developing some literacy skills and some numeracy stuff coming out of it, the art of building a computer game in a group of two or three students means that they're learning to collaborate together, to work creatively. You find that sort of the visually creative kids lean more towards helping think through the graphics and the actual design. You know, some of the other kids are more focused on the story, whereas others just like the nitty-gritty of actually trying to solve the problem of how come when I'm joining, you know, that item to that item, is that actually not happening?
What's some of the feedback you get from kids after they've been through the learning program?
The kids are really keen. So the kids sometimes will open up private blogs in the school and they start sharing their games with each other and getting really excited about it. What's really interesting, though, is the teacher feedback. So I don't know any of the kids when I go into this class. So I don't come in any preconceived ideas of, oh, that's the smart kid, or that's the kid who always plays up in the back of class. And you always get feedback from teachers, which is, you say, oh, look, you know, little Timmy's just created this. And they're like, no, that student wouldn't create that. That's not, that's, that student doesn't do that kind of thing. So what's really amazing is that, you know, the teachers leave the room, we get some time in there, and it's obvious that this type of program engages students that otherwise, you know, more traditional learning methods, they sometimes struggle with.
So now that we've got Disney Infinity 2.0 hitting shelves, does that mean anything new for what you're doing?
It does mean something new in the sense that what's very clear is that the Avalanche Software and the other guys that are creating it have really realised that the toy box, the space where you do this kind of creative work, is such a powerful tool. So they've improved it in a number of ways. They've offered some tools in there that means that backgrounds and other things can be generated a lot more quickly while you focus on your actual game. They've added a whole bunch of functionality, which means that students that want to go more in depth can, but also students that might be more interested in telling a really nice story can actually focus on that aspect of it rather than having to do really hard sort of programming. So, the power of that is really interesting. And what you can see them too is moving towards a space whereby, you know, it's such a powerful tool for creating games. Students will be able to create games that are almost as good as anyone else can create with all of their programming knowledge. So you can see a future where there'll be user-generated content where Disney will be saying to you know, students or people that are using the Disney Infinity 2.0 to create toy boxes, they'll be like, oh, that's almost a game that we could sell to people.
That's amazing. And of course, I should ask what the feedback from Disney has been like on this.
They've actually been really supportive, especially Disney here in Australia. Like, this is a small thing that I've just been doing in Australia, and you would assume sometimes that a large corporation would be like, hang on, that's what we're doing. Yeah. And Disney obviously see themselves as entertainment and primarily entertainment. But yeah, they've taken a real interest in some of the things I'm doing, so much in the sense that they're supporting it a little bit and provided a couple of figures so that I can, you know, further do some of that work and explore it. Of course, giving me access to Disney 2.0 a bit earlier than others, which was good to be able to play around.
Amazing. So anyone who'd like some more information, where can they go?
Infinitylearning.net is our little homepage where we're starting to document things. And, you know, this isn't something that I'm just trying to have dominion over either. Teachers could go about doing this sort of process themselves, and I'm trying to provide some resources to that website that allow people that are interested in it to do that themselves.
It sounds like you've got a good structure in place that people could base that off if they did want to go ahead and you know, go out on their own and do it or get you involved. So, look, Dan, thanks again for coming on Tech Daily.
Oh, thanks for having me.